Sunday is supposed to be the day that we stop and turn off our cell phones. The day that we're supposed to stop so that we might feel the gentle, silent, invisible pulling. We talked about this in September, didn't we? When the spiritual theme of that month was Sabbath. And at that time, I preached that we have such a short time on this earth. So we have to decide how we're going to live it. Do we want to live it always busy, always working on that next project, always running that next errand? Or do we want to live with an attitude of unhurried trust and joy? Sounds nice, doesn't it? A life of unhurried trust and joy. But the demands of your boss and the kids' schedules and your schedules and volunteering here at WUU, the bills to be paid and the taxes that are due pretty soon, the body that needs exercise, the dog that needs to be walked, your students, your parents, the repairs to the house, the floor that is waiting to be cleaned, the car that needs oil, they're all pulling you in all kinds of directions. And so when someone asks you, well, how are you? You say, oh, I'm so busy. We're so busy. You know, I imagine human beings have always been busy, right? Hunting, gathering, surviving. And yet today it seems like there's just no downtime. The electric lights ensures that we can work while the night tells us that we need to be sleeping. Indoor heating lets us almost forget about winter. And that always connected, always on internet distracts our minds while the soul pleads for stillness. I wish I could stand here and say, well, we pastors are different. But we are not immune. One survey shows that a full 90% of parish ministers work between 60 and 75 hours a week, every week. Protestant ministers, the health of Protestant ministers, they say, has declined steadily since 1950. You and I have said over and over and over again that this is not the life that we want to live. We get ourselves up early in the morning to come here to remind ourselves this is not the life we want to live. We want to live with unhurried trust and joy, where we are not pulled in 100 different directions by a culture that pushes us to consume more and desire more and do more. We have said that we want to be. We want to be more. We want to listen to that small, still voice and feel that gentle, invisible, silent thread. Why then is it so hard to be Mary? Why are we so busy being Martha? Well, we are Martha because everything in our culture has been set up to put Martha on a pedestal. We reward Martha. We tell her she's absolutely right for doing all the things that she is doing, and then we give her a raise. Being busy has become kind of a badge of honor, right? It's a sign of importance and worthiness. So, I have 200 emails in my inbox. The other day, I had a meeting at 7 a.m. Didn't get home until 10. Yeah. Some of us, including many pastors, aren't in it for the competition because we're trying to do better than our, our neighbors, but it's the sin of pride that gets us. While we ministers are supposed to be following the call of the Spirit rather than the ego, there is great temptation in this job to be heroic, to be the Savior, to fill 75 hours of work in a week with conspicuous activity. So I'm sorry to tell you that we are just as addicted to Facebook as you are. Facebook and Instagram and Netflix. We are just as sleep deprived and stressed out as you are, and we are just as likely to be looking for admiration and reward in hard work and overwork. Why? Why do we do this to ourselves when we say this is not the life that we want? This is not the life that we want. We are at the beck and call of the insatiable ego while the finer thread pulls ever so gently. Do you know what she was talking about in that poem? Have you felt it? Do you know about that fine thread? Maybe you felt it this morning as Dave was playing. Maybe you felt it in the silent meditation. Maybe you felt it while you were breathing in, breathing out. In moments of rest and stillness, during moments of true silence, when you can really empty yourself, you have heard the call of the Spirit offering you a different kind of life. But maybe it wasn't even a time of silence and a time of stillness. Maybe it came to you in the middle of a busy day. In the middle of the busy day when you were rounding a bend and then all of a sudden the sun flashes through the bare winter trees and boom, your heart is pierced with beauty. And that travels up and past your throat and you gasp. Ah. And you feel it traveling to the top of your head and it bursts out in light. Sometimes it happens like that. And this is the point when you say, oh, yes, yes. This is the point where you say to the woods and to the sea and to the mountains and to the world, now I am ready. Now I am ready to stop and to be wholly attentive. Yes. And then you go to your next meeting and you forget. But then you come here and you remember again the kind of life you want to live. That feeling, have you felt it? That kind of, oh, yes, yes. I remember now. This is what my life is supposed to be about. I wonder if that happened to Mary. Because I'm trying to figure out what is the difference between Mary's response and Martha's response. So in my mind, I'm picturing both Martha and Mary in the house, busying themselves, cleaning and getting the dishes down and getting the food ready. And both of them are in their busyness and in their chores. And then all of a sudden, Jesus walks through the door. Boom. And Mary's heart is pierced. And she says, I will stop. I will stop right now. I am ready. I am ready to be wholly attentive. And she just sits down at his feet and doesn't utter a word. Just listens. Now Martha, on the other hand, she sees Jesus and boom, it's her ego that is sparked. She's worried because she wants to make a good impression. She wants to be the good host. She wants to please. She wants to please him. She wants to look good. And so she runs away. She actually leaves the scene, runs away. And she's in there for what? An hour maybe? She's over there and she's not working in a sense of joy. She's building up resentment. She is filling up with resentment and envy and anger. And finally, when she gets to this very top, she comes back out and says, Mary, what are you doing? Jesus, why are you letting her just sit there? Tell her to come and help me. And Jesus looks at her and says, you don't have to do 100 things. Only one thing is necessary. Being full of activity, full of worry, full of doing, full of consuming, all of that doesn't allow anything else to come in. We are full. This is also a way to fortify ourselves. Because if we're full, then we are a barricade, right? And we are protected behind this strong wall. But just remember, that wall also imprisons us. The writer Kay Northcutt asks, what do you really, really want? What do you want? Don't you want to be able to love without impediment? Don't you want to be free from compulsion? Don't you want to be free from heedlessness? Don't you want to be attentive to reality and fully awake to what we are doing? Don't you want to be free? So what's the difference between Mary and Martha? I think Martha was afraid. I think she was just afraid to be still, afraid to let her guard down, afraid to just listen to the call of the Spirit. And I don't blame her, because silence can be very frightening. Stillness can be very frightening. After all, who knows what we're going to find in that silence? Maybe nothing. As the poet said, you give your life's length to listening and then nothing happens. Or maybe we find that our fears are all there, lined up, waiting for us. The fear that we are unworthy, the fear that we are unlovable, the fear that our brokenness cannot be repaired. But of course you know that that's not true. You know that you are unbelievably worthy. You know that you are loved beyond measure. And you know that you have already been saved. We are called by the Spirit to pay attention to the one important thing in our lives. And if we let that one thing be crowded out by all the hundreds of other expectations and things and busyness, then we will not have any peace. We will not have peace by working harder. We will not have peace by putting in more hours in a day. It will come by being attentive to the one necessary thing, which is attending to the call of the Spirit. The call of the Spirit wants nothing more from us than to have peace. To have peace in our hearts that we can reflect then to the rest of the world. May it be so. Amen.